address and directions from wherever you live. If you live in North County or your family, one of the reasons we play the video before I come out is because when the video's playing here, their screen in North County is going down right in front of their stage, and that's what they're looking at right now. So we're coordinating, and we're talking to them all the time, and we're getting ready to hopefully start construction, provided the finances, on a site in East County. We want to have them all over San Diego. So when we're here, we have people all over San Diego watching. So I want to say hello again to the people in North County. Today is Veterans Day. We want to say thank you to all the veterans. Amen. Let's give them a hand. Let's give them a hand. Come on now. God bless you. God bless you. Unless you've been to war, which I have not, unless you've been in the military, which I have not, we don't understand the sacrifice people make on our behalf to have the freedoms we have. And I would encourage you to, you know, you see military in the airport or whatever, just thank them. Extend that to the police, extend that to the fire, all the people who take care of us. Because we enjoy a great country, and we want to keep enjoying a great country. And those people, especially veterans, are a big part of that. And so we thank you for that. The other thing, I have a great friend who worked here for 7 years in our leadership team, and he wrote a book called Kingdom Royalty. He's going to be out in the lobby. When you are born again, you are born into a royal family. The King of Kings is now your dad. And because the King of Kings is your dad, you have you are entitled to royal authority. When you pray, you talk to God of heaven. And many of us as believers live as though we're paupers. We should ask for little prayers and little miracles. And this book is all about helping you understand the entitlement you have spiritually because of your sonship and daughtership to the King of Kings. Amen? So that'll be out right in front of the bookstore. Jerry Ray will be out there. So let's see your Bibles today. Let's see your Bible. Say word. Word. One more time, say word. Word. See your pens. Lesson plan, lesson plan. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 13. Genesis 13, if you are a visitor, welcome. Genesis is the first book of the Bible. If you do not know where that is, not implying visitors don't know, but just whoever you are who doesn't know. So. Genesis 13, first book, 13th chapter. Lord, thank you so much for your word. We pray you bless us today in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week I told you that this was one of the most important messages that every now and then I get a message that I feel like is very, very, very important, this being one of them. So I want to set your expectation correctly. You may think, well, that wasn't that big a deal. A message is only as powerful as it changes your life. And it's only going to change your life as far as you let it. And what I mean by that, people can hear the word of God and just naysay it. I want to encourage you to allow God to speak to your heart. And this is true every week, every day. Hopefully you read your Bible every day. But as we continue our series called The Source, this particular message is kind of the foundation of being a source of blessing. Last week we talked about the fact that God is a source of all good things. We're going to see some of that today. But that he has called us to in turn be a source of those same blessings to other people. We're not a destination of his blessings, but we should be a distributor of his blessings. That he created us in his image, that he would reflect his glory through us onto the world. Us like no other creature. So my prayer is that you would be ready in your heart to receive what God has, and that you would think about it, that hopefully it challenges you, and hopefully you go home thinking all day about what we're going to talk about today. And if you do, and again, this applies to all messages, but this is going to hopefully hit a chord with some of y'all. If you do, it will change your life, it will change this church's life, and we will truly become a source of incredible blessing, which is the reason we're here. The reason we did all this and bought the building, and all the people invested their time, money, and talent to get here to this point, all the staff hours are going, 200 and something staff we have here, is so we can be a source of blessing. And so I want to read an email I got from someone last week, a lady in the church. She says, hi, Pastor Miles, I have to share a little story with you after Sunday's message from last week. My 16-year-old son wanted to be the source, so he went out and fed the homeless. This is after last Sunday. At 11 p.m. on Monday night, a friend of mine from JC's Girls' car broke down, so I went to pick her up and bring her home. I called my son and asked him if he would use his mattress, if I could use his mattress for a homeless person I was going to bring home. Without hesitation, he said, sure, Mom. He made her a bed with his mattress and bedding, and when I got home with her, I thanked him for what he had done and told him she was not actually homeless, but that I was very impressed with his heart and that he was a blessing to a stranger. He said, you know what was funny, Mom? I was praying when you called and asking God to give me an opportunity to be the source. And then you called. So I am the one that was blessed because God answered my prayers right away. I said, way to live out the sermon. It's one thing to feed the homeless, but it's a whole different thing to give up your bed. As we continue the series called The Source, we talked last week and we're studying Abraham's life that God wants to bless you. But then he expects you to pass that blessing, and maybe not all of it, but it's going to go through you, transform your life, and come through you to bless somebody else. You cannot be a source or the source of a blessing unless you are a giver. Everyone say giver. Today I want to talk about being a giver. Now the reason this has been marinating in my head for a few weeks and really tripped me out because I've been trying to rack my brain in the Bible where it says to be a taker. Only because I want to say with validity that I can't find it. That God never tells us to be a taker. Now, we could be a receiver, and we'll talk about that in a minute, absolutely. But a taker is someone who gets something on their terms, and a receiver is someone who gets something on the terms of the giver. And so I want to talk about us being givers, and not only givers, generous givers. Now, I know some of y'all are thinking right now, he's trying to get our money. And the reason that you're thinking that right now, if you're thinking it, because you're holding it. But am I trying to get your money? Nope, I'm trying to get more than that. Your heart. Because if God gets your heart, your money's just paper. If we're just trying to get your money, that's manipulation to get your money. It's really your heart. And so too many people come to church as takers and not givers. Now, I'm going to preface this by saying this. I'm going to make an assumption that when you come to church, you come, not an assumption, you come to church to have an experience with God. We had a consultant come a few years ago, and one of the questions she asked our leadership team was, what's the purpose of Sunday? And, you know, the evangelist said evangelism. Another person said teaching the word of God. Another person said worship. Another person said fellowship. And she said all y'all are wrong in so many words. And we're like scratching our head. How can we be wrong? She said the purpose of Sunday is that people would experience God. If you experience God, then all the other, you can experience God through those things. But if you experience God, God changed your life. Then he ministers to each and every single one of you in an individual way. So when you come to church, you're coming to experience God, but you're coming to experience God so when you leave, you can be different all the time. Not to experience God so you can have your God moment and then go back to where you were. You want to experience God. So when you come to church, this theoretically is the best you'll ever act. You'll have theoretically, the best attitude today. You'll be the most polite. You'll be the most courteous. You'll be the godliest. You'll say praise the Lord more ever than on Sunday when you're here. This is the best you're going to be in theory. Can I get amen? Amen. Just in theory. Now, and so what you want to do is you want to come to church, raise the bar, and then when you leave, you want to stay there. That's the purpose. You come in, learn a new way to live, and then say, okay, I got to take that out into the world. It's like I play golf, and golf is very frustrating, but I love it, but it's very frustrating. And when you play golf, you go on the range where you practice, and you can be hitting them all good, then you get on out on the course, and you can't do it. You got to take the range out to the course. okay? And so you want to come here and learn something and then take it. So what I'm going to talk about today as far as being a giver, I want you're going to learn it here, but then you want to take it out there. If you take it out there, then now church is serving its purpose in your life. We can do our part, but you got to do your part, okay? Now, God is our giver. So when we experience God and learn about God, we're learning the standard that he set for us. He was a giver. I just don't see in the Bible where, and it could be there, I don't know everything, where he's taking. He gave us his creation. And by the way, the Bible says in Romans 1:20 that the invisible attributes of God are clearly seen in the things that he made. In other words, he made creation so amazing, incredible. Not incredible, incredible. He said he made it so incredible that when you saw it, you would see God. When you see it, every area of creation, it is unexplainable. Some of you believe it evolved and it came from no one. It's no intelligent design. That's a whole other sermon series that, hey, we got it online. But he made it so incredible that you go, wow. Sunset, it's fire. It's a ball of fire. Just goes into the ocean or below the mountain, wherever you live, and you watch it go down and you go, wow, it's fire. But he made fire so amazing. He made jellyfish 95, 90-something percent water, no brains, no blood, no bones. It'll jack you up. It's amazing. And trust me, I'm going for 5 hours on creation, but I'll just tell you, he says, I'm going to make everything so incredible that you just have to scratch your head. He gave that to us. He gave us, I got a whole list here, let me make sure I stay on track. He gave us the law and the prophets to represent his truth. He gave us his son, for God so loved the world that he gave his son. We did not buy his son. It was not owed to us, and he didn't give us part of his son, he gave all of his son. And then his son gave all of his life. He gave all of his blood, not 10%. He didn't tithe his life. His son, then he gave us the Holy Spirit. Then he gave us infallible truths. He gave us, he says, listen, as I have washed your feet, I gave you a model for you now to do. As I have loved you, now you go love. He gave. And we'll say gave. He was a giver. So, we need to be givers. People come to church with a taker mentality. Let me describe it to you. I want my seat. I'm sorry. My bad. I want no traffic coming. I want not to wait, I want to get to my parking space. I want my seat. I want my worship songs. I want my pastor. And if I don't get what I want, I'm not going to be happy and or I am going to leave. I want them to preach on stuff that makes me feel mildly uncomfortable or comfortable, but don't ruffle me. Or I'm leaving because this is all about me. Don't ask me for my money. Don't tell me about your need. This is all about me. People come with a take mentality. Can I say it? Can I get an amen if you know what I'm talking about? God says, look, that you cannot worship God with a take mentality. You worship God with a give mentality. We'll get to that. That's my third point when I get to the text. But the point is that you have to ask yourself, do you come with a take or give mentality? Do you come with the heart of a servant or the heart of a master? People walk in here with the heart of a master. Do what I want. And if I don't like it, I'll go to another church where I get my needs met the way I want. Instead of saying, God, where do you want me to park? God, what seat do you want me to have? Maybe I want to give my seat to somebody else. God, what worship song do you have for me to guide my heart to worship you? Because you know better than me. God, who do you want me to serve today? I want to give. Those are two very different mentalities. And only you can determine how much you are taking, how much you are giving. And one of the ways you know you're a take is that when you don't get your way, you get mad. That's how you know you're a taker. But James chapter 4, you're writing notes, just write that in James chapter 4, verse 1 to 3. It says, where do wars come from? It comes from our desire in our heart. It comes from, we lust and we don't have. We want. When I say lust, lust is a desire to have something that doesn't belong to you. It's not necessarily sexual. It's you want something and you can't get it. That's why people get mad. Every time you get mad is because you didn't get your way. You know how you can never get mad again? Don't have your way. Just don't care. When I say don't care, say, God, whatever you have for me. I was talking to a young lady the other day. I'd known her for years and just found out last week she had a brain tumor. And her brain tumor, they operated, took it away. And we were talking about God, and she was like, why would God do these things? And I said, let me ask you a question. I'm just going to guess that brain tumor changed your life for the positive, and you are thankful you got it. She says, you know what? You're right. But when it was happening, you were mad at God. God knows better. You got to wait till the end of the story. So when you come to church, how many of y'all come here with a take? Don't raise your hand. I'm just You come here with a take mentality. We've been auditioning for worship leaders for a year or so, ever since Stephanie left. Some of the worship people we had were marvelous. I wish we could hire a bunch of them. Some of them, I tell the staff, never have them come here ever again. Divas. Diva. They're not coming here to serve. They're not coming here to serve. Come here to take. I want this, I want this, I want this. I came here one time. We had a worship leader singing. I came here to give a word like I did just before and during worship to give you a little word of encouragement to do worship. I turned around. He was gone. He walked off stage. Went to sell his product. The service wasn't over. It's like, brother, what happened? Brother. What's here to worship? And so the question for you is, if you want to be a source of blessing, you have to be a giver. And if you want to be a big blesser, you have to be generous. Now, you may say, I don't want to be a source. Well, okay. Well, there you go. At least now you know. So if you don't want to be a source, why should God give you anything to be a source with? I was talking to a pastor one day, and he said, I want to grow my church to 5,000 or 4,000, and can you help me? And I said, well, first let me ask you, why do you want 4,000 people? Why should God give you 4,000 people? What are you going to do with it? And he didn't say anything. I said, well, if you don't know what you're going to do with it, should God give it to you? You're going to use those 4,000 people to bless other people? Or are you going to use your 4,000 people to pump your chest up? Are you a giver or are you a taker? Let's read Abraham. In this story of Abraham. Abraham was a giver. And God told Abraham, once you leave your father and mother's house, you're going to walk to a place I will show you. You will be a blessing. In Abraham's life, he gave up his family, security and his time with his family. He gave his son to be sacrificed. We're going to look at that story. He gave tithes. Tithes started with Abraham before the law. We're going to look at that, what that means. He gave and why he gave and why God instituted us as giving. Let's look at the story. It says in chapter 13, verse 1, Abraham went from Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot, his nephew. Verse 2, Abraham was very rich in livestock, silver, and gold. By the way, there's nothing wrong with being rich. Matter of fact, God gave you all the riches in the heavenly places. You are filthy, crazy rich. You're Saudi Arabia rich. Those princes in Saudi Arabia got cash money. Okay, you think Gates got money? Those boys got money. You don't even know how much money they have. You're richer than that in God. Don't hate. Celebrate. Verse 3, he went on his journey from the south as far as Bethel to the place where his tent had been at the beginning and between Bethel and Ai and to the place of the altar. Everyone say altar. Which he made there first. Abraham gave God praise. We're going to talk about that in a few weeks as well. Oh, he gave. And then Abram called on the name of the Lord, and Lot also with him went with Abraham. They had herds and tents. Verse 6, the land was not able to support them that they might dwell together, for their possessions were so great that they could not dwell together. And there was strife between the herdsmen of Abraham's livestock and the herdsmen of Lot's livestock. The Canaanites and the Perizzites dwelt in the land. So here's Abraham with all his herds, and he was rich. And he had all these herdsmen, and his nephew was with him, Lot, and he had all his herds, and they were all fighting. They needed space. Okay, are you with me? Abraham's the man. He's the guy that God spoke to face the man speaks to his friend. He's the guy that God said, you go. Lot's his nephew. His nephew. Abraham's the man. Y'all got that? You say Abraham's the man? I'm sorry. Say Abraham's the man. Very good. Thank you very much. Verse 8, Abram said, please let there be no strife between me and you and my herdsman and your herdsman, for we are brothers, we're family. Is not the whole land before you? Please separate from me. If you take the left, then I will go to the right. If you go to the right, I will go to the left. In other words, Lot, I'm going to let you pick first. Listen to what I'm telling you. Lot, I'm going to let you pick first. Look at number 1 in your notes. Very, very simple. Give priority to the needs of others. Talking about being a giver. Come to church thinking this. Who can I bless? Who has a need? Whose need can I put over my wants? My opinion, our wants overshadow our needs. That we are more preoccupied with our wants versus our needs. Come to church thinking, and with a give mentality, I want to help somebody else. Now, I want you to remember what I said in the beginning. If you take this home, take this mentality to work, take this mentality to the gym, take this mentality to Starbucks. I want to give someone else's priority, someone else's needs, priority of mine. This does not mean that whatever anyone asks you, you do. What you're saying is that you are putting God's plan for someone else's life as a priority to you. How many of y'all are married? Okay. How many of y'all are not married, but you want to be married? How many of y'all are dating? Wow. Okay. 5 people. How many of y'all are breathing? Very good, very good. I want you to imagine your spouse. I have a theory why God causes opposites to attract. God causes opposites to attract because he forces you with the attraction of love. He forces you with the attraction of love. I can't stop thinking about you. I can't stop. That's not you. That's just love. It's just you got bitten. Your nose is open. You're sprung. Whatever you want to call it. It's like, why? I can't. And you're like, to this person, and then you get to that person, and at the first you're in Eros love, you're just like, you know, all over the top. You're high with this person, literally, it's dopamine in your brain. You are high with this person, and then the Eros love kind of settles. You date for a while, you get married, and then you see that they are not perfect, and then you get married, and then you see that you're actually opposite. But you're stuck. You're married. And you're like, how did I miss that? By that time, hopefully you're in agape love, which means you are loving for love's sake, not for your sake. Eros love is loving for your sake. I have a feel good that I want to feed. And then when you get older, you say, no, I just love because I want to love. And it requires selflessness. A taker is selfish. A giver is selfless. God has opposites attract to teach us to be selfless. Because the only way your marriage is going to work, the only way your marriage is going to work, if you become selfless. It ain't going to work any other way. If you're a taker, your marriage ain't going to work. Now, you may stay married, but it ain't going to work. You're sleeping in opposite bedrooms. You're not talking. There's no passion. Blah, 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 blah. It's just you're coexisting because you're a taker. Now, there's a whole lot in reasons why marriages don't work. But at some point, hopefully in the beginning, you say, I want to be a giver. I want to put your needs ahead of mine. How can I be a blessing to you? How can I encourage you? How can I serve you? Now, some of you are thinking, well, if I do that, he or she is going to take advantage of me. So then what's your alternative? Fight? What's your alternative? Dominate, manipulate, and have a jacked up relationship? And when you die, they don't even give you a funeral. Throw them out back. Hopefully that never happens. But no, you know what? God's commanded to love. It's not a suggestion. It's not an alternative. It's not like if they do this. And it's something very magical about loving. And if you give, it's amazing what happens. Fellas, it's amazing how what your wife will do if you serve her. She will serve you. Now, if she's psycho, that's on you. You picked her. But from my experience, just again, my experience is somewhat limited. 99% of the time, it's the fella's fault. But here's what I have found, and I do have extensive experience in this. When you, and whether personally or just seen it through all the people in the church I met, is when you serve people, it's amazing how their hearts change. And if you serve, things happen. When you love, things happen. Love is a very powerful thing. If you put the needs of someone else before yours, here's what Abraham said. Abraham said, you know what? You take what you're going to take, I'll get what's left. Abraham could have easily said, yo, man, I'm going over there. You just go wherever you want. I'm the uncle here. I'm the one God called. He said, I'm going to put you first. But look what happened. Look what happened. Verse 10. Lot lifted up his eyes and saw the plain of Jordan that was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, like the garden of the Lord, the Garden of Eden, and like Egypt as you go towards Zoar. And Lot chose for himself all the plain of the Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated from each other. And Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent as far as Sodom. But the men of Sodom were exceedingly wicked and sinful against the Lord. That story is in Genesis 18. The Lord said to Abram, after Lot separated from him, after he gave up and gave Lot, let Lot go first, God said to him, here's what's left, Abraham. Because Abraham said, I'll take whatever you leave. You go right, I'll go left. You go left, I'll go right. I'll just take whatever you leave. He said, lift up your eyes and look southward, eastward, northward, and westward. For all the land which you see, I give to you and your descendants forever, and I will make your descendants as the dust of the earth, so that if a man could number the dust, then your descendants could also be numbered. Arise, walk in the land through its length, its width, I give it to you. Look at number two in your notes. You have to give God's promises your unconditional trust. This is what I'm talking about, giving God your whole heart. Do not negotiate with God. If God wants you to serve, serve. Trust him. He will get you what you need. Abraham said, God, I know that you've called me to the promised land. I know you called me to a land that you show me. So I'm trusting. I'm going to look for Lot. He's going to take his, and I trust whatever you got for me, it'll be exactly what you want for me. You can't give away what God wants you to have. You can't. You can't. You don't have to make your wife love you. That is not love. That's rape. You can't do that. You can't make people respect you. Give to God. Give to people. Be generous. Trust that God will fulfill his word to you. You know how God secured a royal priesthood of saints, Christians that would serve him? He gave his son, and then he watched what happened. Think about Jesus dying on the cross. Think about it. Again, I don't know if this was in his head. Matter of fact, I know it wasn't in his head because he knew it was going to happen. But think about it. He's like, man, what if no one accepts me and I die for nothing? No, he says, I'm going to give my whole life. And by the way, he's on the cross knowing most people would reject him. But he gave anyway. Talk about your money. You think you can actually give your money away in the name of God and God let you go broke? Do you think God would let you do that? The reason God answers our prayers, one of the many reasons, is so we would keep praying. That's the reason God answers prayers. That's the reason God blesses obedience, so we will keep doing it. And so if God made a promise to you, trust the promise. Don't sit here and negotiate with God. Well, God, I'll do this if you do this, and I'm going to hedge my bet, and I want to. You're protecting yourself against the unfaithfulness of God? That's a taker. You're holding. Let it go. And some of the stress in your life, the drama in your life, the pain in your life, the fighting is all because you're a taker. You're trying to hold. Instead of saying, God, I trust, I let it go. I let it go. We're going to talk about tithing? Most definitely. We're going to hit it right with a chorus. And some of y'all are going to go, you're going to hear clink, clink, clink right on your wallet. Clink, clink, clink. Because you don't trust God. That's it. God's the one blessing you. You don't trust him. Number three. Give God the worship and praise he deserves. In a few weeks, we're going to talk about the altars that Abraham built and other people in the Bible. Look what it says in verse 18. It says, Abram moved his tent and went and dwelt by the terebinth trees of Mamre, which are in Hebron. And he built an altar there to the Lord. Now, like I said, in a few weeks, we're going to talk more about the altars that Abraham built, and he built many, and what the purpose of an altar was. But if you read Psalms, it tells us to praise God, praise the Lord. The reason I wanted to end that last song the way we did, and if you're watching North County, what we did is, and we're going to do it again right now, is that when you sing to God, you want to be singing as though you are telling him how much you love him. You are telling him how much you appreciate him. You are telling him that you are acknowledging what he has done for you and that everything you have, he's given you and that he owns it. And whatever the words in the song say, and then over and above. So think about what God has done for you. Now, if you're a taker, track with me. If you're a taker, what you have, you got. And you're just singing to God because some band's up here singing. But all the stuff you have is yours. And so you're just singing because that's what you're mouthing words. But if you're a giver, you're saying, God, thank you for my breath. And I really thank you for my breath. If you're a giver, you would appreciate and have on the tip of your mind, the tip of your tongue, praise to what God has done for you every single day. That when you don't get your space, you say, God, I thank you. You have a better plan. That when you don't get your seat, when you got to sit in traffic, God, I know you have a better plan. I know you do. Because I trust you. So I'm not tripping. Versus, I want my way. I want my way. If Miles is not there, I'm leaving. Where are you going? Here's what that says. If he's not there, if it's on screen, I'm not coming. You know what that says? Is that I don't trust God to speak to somebody else. That's ridiculous. That is insult to God. Instead of saying, Lord, I want to tell you, thank you, thank you, thank you. So when we sing, and again, the music may not be your flavor. Music is very discriminatory. I don't know if that's the right word. People like this kind of music and don't like this kind of music, and I get that. Somehow we're wired that way. That's why there's so many different kinds of music. Praise God. But, that shouldn't get in the way of you telling God, thank you for my voice. Thank you for sign language. Thank you that I could be in this place. Thank you that I live in San Diego. Thank you that I have an opportunity to help somebody else. Thank you that you blessed me so I could be a blessing. Thank you for my pain and what I'm going to learn through my pain. Thank you for being faithful to me through ups and downs of my whole life. I have so much to thank you for. Worship, please don't stop. That's why you should come on time so you can get the full 20, 25 minutes. And don't roll in and wait just in time to miss the offering, get the word, and get out and be entertained. That's a taker. Instead of coming and saying, I want to be a giver. Do I want us to be an incredibly generous church and bless the city? Most definitely. We want to pay off this building. Is there enough money to pay off this building in this church? 10 times over. It's just in your wallet. It is. But if you give your heart, that's not even an issue. I had a phone call from the police department this last week. Pastor, can we need to have a need for this homeless community. Can you give us this? Yes. Where do we deliver it? I want to get those every day. And I would constantly. The world calling us for help. Yes. In the name of Jesus, here you go. What else do you need? What else? We want to get those every day. Now, we can't fulfill the order alone. We can't fulfill the order. We can't go down, drive down to downtown. Go down 163, go into the city, 4 or 5 blocks, and make a left. And just drive around. Get out your car, walk around, and look at people in despair. And then go back to your house and say, Lord, what do you want me to do? Now, he may not want you to do anything there, but hopefully to break your heart to see human beings like you eating out of garbage right down the street. Want to be a blessing. And it breaks God's heart. And God's like, here's God. I got a need. I got resources. I'm trying to get the resources from me down to the people. But it's getting hung up. It's getting hung up right here. What do I got to do? Okay, I'm going to make loud yelling preachers. Maybe that'll help. So he sends people like me. I don't know how the worship team come out. We're running out of time. We're out of time. So we're going to sing one song. Here's what I want you to do. As we end this year, we go towards the end of this year and Christmas, I want you to be thinking about, do you want to be a generous giver? And here's my challenge to you. My challenge to you is to, Jesus said, and Paul was repeating Jesus in Acts chapter 20, verse 35, I believe it is better to give than receive. Why? Because when you give, you make room to receive. You can't take from God the blessing he wants to give you. You can't. You have to receive it. And you can only receive it if you get rid of what you got in your hand. So giving prepares the heart. Giving purifies the heart. And when you give, then you say, okay, God. And by the way, receiving is getting something on the terms of someone else. So if you say, even if you said, well, you're just giving to God so you can get something. Even if that was your attitude, fine. Yes, let's say that's my attitude. I'm giving to God because I want to get what God has for me. Absolutely. I want what God has for me. Why wouldn't I want what God has for me? But I can't take it. I have to receive it. I have to receive it by faith. So God, I'm going to give not knowing what you have for me. I just know it's better than what I got. So I'm going to give. I'm going to say, whatever it is, And I may be expecting, you know, some big hot cinnamon bun, and he gives me a little crumb. And I'm like, okay, I'm good with the crumb, because you know if I eat that, okay, you know I can't eat just a little piece, I'm gonna eat the whole thing. So you'll give me a little bit. Okay, God, thank you. But I'm not saying, God, I'm giving this, you better give me this. That's not giving, that's taking. I'm gonna give and I'm gonna receive whatever you got. So here's my challenge to you. Be generous. Be generous. Some of y'all come here, you give no money. You take. You're greedy. You're selfish. Period. That's it. No other, well, I don't know. You're just rationalizing taking. And you're missing out on the blessing of giving. Take it. So, here we go. So here's my challenge. We gotta get out of here. Here's my challenge. Today. Everyone say today.
Today.
Say today. Be a giver today. Be a giver today and watch what God does. Don't be looking for the car you get. Don't be looking for the hot babe that comes into your house saying, marry me. Don't look at that. Say, look for what God does here. Let it go. Live free. Let God bless you in his time and his way. Amen? We're going to sing a song, then we're going to watch a video.
Everlasting. Your light will shine when all else fades. Never ending, your glory goes beyond all fame. And the cry of my heart is to bring you praise from the inside out of my soul. Cries out an everlasting, your light will shine when fades, never ending, your glory goes beyond all fame, and the cry of my heart is to bring you praise from the inside out of my soul, cries out.
Process of changing the order of our service, where we do announcements at the end and offering at the end. We're getting there so we can have worship right into the message like we did today. So we're going to watch a short video for the announcements, and then you can leave. If you want to give and you feel like, you know what, I need to give, go online. I know we have boxes somewhere, offering boxes. Be generous. Be generous. Go help somebody today. Go tell somebody you're sorry and don't defend yourself. Just say, I'm sorry. That's it. Amen. Just watch the video and then we'll see you next week.
Hey Rock, Mingo here, pastor of 1825. Thanks for joining us as we learned how God best works in us so that he can ultimately work through us. We're a multi-site church with a vision to establish pervasive hope on every street and with every person. And we'd love for you to get connected in community through community groups. It's a great way by which you can grow deeper in your faith through relationship. There's tons of ways that you can serve here at The Rock also. You can get that information in the lobby or on our website. Here's how you can establish pervasive hope right now. Toys for Joy is happening literally right around the corner, which means that there are going to be hundreds of families lining up, some as early as 3 o'clock in the morning, to receive a toy, but it's more than just a toy. It's